Welcome to the ICANN Conference Center, powered by Adigo Conferencing, www.adigo.com. I'm sorry, your entry, 7531425. I'm sorry, your entry is incorrect. Please try again. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key or hash key. Please wait for the subscriber. If you are the subscriber, press star. Please enter your subscriber PIN, followed by the pound sign. Please say your full name, then press the pound key or hash key. Thank you. Your conference will now start. You may hear a list of available options at any time by touching star star.
Just the date, the time, and the name of the meeting. That's all you need to do. I can do it for you.
This is for the purposes of the transcript. It's Wednesday, October 17th, 2 p.m. local time in Toronto, and this is a meeting of the Contractual Compliance
Working Group.
Working Group.
So while we're waiting, I would like to make some key introductions in the room here. First of all, I've got an amazing staff team joining us. And again, I apologize really for the delay in starting. We always start on time. Just the technical setup was not completed. So with me from the Contractual Compliance team, I have Pam Little. If you would raise your hand so people know who you are, please. Yes. I have Paul Redman. I have Jack Kawaja. Atif Beg, Victor Oppenheimer, Sumi Lee, and Leticia Castillo. Several of the team members are new to ICANN, therefore they still have the green tag, and this is their first meeting. And then before we're continuing, I also would like to recognize one of our board members who has been an amazing supporter and follower of Contractual Compliance, Judith Vasquez with us.
Good afternoon.
And I would like to also introduce the VP of IT, Ed Beck. I keep reminding Ed we're his only and favorite customers, but of course I'm competing for his services like everybody is at ICANN. And with Ed, who always saves our lives, is David Clausen with us in the back. Thank you, David. We're ready? All right. So for this, the team, the audience on Adobe and on the bridge, we apologize for the delay again. We had lack of some of the technical setup was not completed. All right. So thanks for joining us this afternoon. We are presenting two sessions. And since joining ICANN, we started this in Dakar. We try to have different compliance sessions on Wednesday afternoon. And a lot of the people now are accustomed to that. And we hope to bring to the ICANN community specific and more focused updates to some of the topics and the activities in compliance. This afternoon, the first topic will be the performance measurement and reporting update and a live demo of one of the business intelligence tools that's still in prototype and evaluation, but we wanted to share with you where we are and what we're working towards. Next slide, please. If you've heard me and followed us in the different stakeholder meetings, this should look familiar to everyone, our three-year plan. The second part, the 2012 plan, we committed that we will be working towards system enhancements that to align with the process and building global metrics. So that's what the session this afternoon is about. Next slide. This process approach and the general approach for our compliance activities is the common language now for all of us in the ICANN community when it comes to contractual compliance activities. We aligned all complaint types processing in this process, regardless if it's a registry or a registrar. When we go through the what we call the 1-2-3 process, I would like to remind everyone in the audience, when we are in the informal resolution, it's always between us and the contracted party. It's that professional courtesy we have with the contracted party to work through and come to a resolution or clarification of whatever complaint we are dealing with. Once that's not, if it's not obtained, then we will breach. A breach notice is the first time the community is made aware of an issue with a specific contracted party. So a breach notice is published, and it's updated based on the status of the breach. What we hope to accomplish through this process, which we did, alignment of all the complaint type processing, and now merging into the next level of our activities. With that, I would like to turn it over to Paul to take you through an update on our tools. I know it's probably a lot of details. I would like to propose that we hold the questions to the end. We will allocate time for questions, and we will stay a little extra to accommodate the last time we had this earlier. Paul?
Well, my name is Paul Redman, so let me just get to it. So we've been after four areas to work on. The first one will be real quick. We've stood up a document repository. So this is for our internal use, keep track of our documents, templates, processes, etc. So the whole team is engaged in this one. This also has some future for perhaps archive of some of the documents. Let me go into what we've done with the system side. So the column on the left, the bridge gap solution, that's exactly what we've done basically over the summer. We've taken the old existing systems and we have updated them to meet the business requirements of this 1-2-3 notification process. Some of them was simple, some of them were a little bit more complicated. It took us a little bit longer than what we had hoped, but the idea is that now we've set the stage, we've aligned for the most part the who is ticket, the transfer, the major complaint type activity into the 1-2-3 process, so that'll make the migration to the next phase of this much more simpler, which is the one compliance tool. So that effort has already started. We are trying to do several things with this. First and foremost is improve the user experience. Hold that thought. I've got a slide that'll show you what we have up our sleeve. Talk about a little bit more follow through and follow up. Our abilities to track the tickets much more systematically. In the past, it was basically we got a ticket, it was logged in the ticketing system, and most of the effort from that point was done in Excel and email. So now we're trying to bring it into the ticketing systems, and now we want to consolidate and put it all into one, so it's all under that one process mechanism, and we can go after it a little bit more holistically. that allows us the scalability to, one, get ready for the new GTLD effort, but also to be a little bit more proactive working through this and handling additional enhancements that we have up planned. So this is sort of a picture of what the current environment is and where we're going to the future. Again, I've got, you know, different input mechanisms that we receive the complaints from the community. We goes into different tracking systems that we then process separately with a heavy sprinkle of email and Excel files. So what we're trying to get to is that box on the right, that future, which is all in one complaint tracking mechanism. We base it a little bit more on exception processes, throw in a lot more automation along the way to make it a little bit easier for us to process the volume of activity. If you look at the circle on the bottom, the two yellow boxes, the web input and then the email. So we still recognize that that is our inputs into this, but we want definitely want to make some improvements to that. Email, I don't think email will be there, but what can we do on that website that make it a little bit easier? And then actually we have some other ideas I want to actually solicit your ideas on. So this sort of paints the picture of where we're trying to get to. How do we do that? Again, improve the user experience, multiple complaints. We want to add that to the list. Registry, new GOT capabilities. And the long-term vision of this, especially if you've heard what Fadi has talked about with the My ICANN, this is some ideas we're tossing around, is through the My ICANN portal, perhaps if we can get the security set up, that this is something that you can go in and look at your own tickets. So that's not here. That's a long-term vision of where we want to go. But we've got to get this first phases working first, and then that's something we can look forward to stretching. So this is, remember that improve the interface. Quite sure this is good old internet. You've seen this. It's very easy to find what the issue is and information about it. So we want to try to change this. We want to bring this into, I'll call it the ICANN model. And this is sort of a concept. It's not a picture of anything. But this is what we're talking about changing it to. Bring it under the ICANN.org or something. And then we have it, it's more of a matrix, a table view. This is a way to organize the topics that we can help you with. Then there's the column of learn more, because a lot of the stuff is educational, it's FAQ type answers. And then there's the take action column. So for the power users that want to go straight to the point where they know exactly what they want to do and submit a complaint, here's where you go. If you don't, if you're the general public, you want to know more information about this, here's a way you can look at the category, it sounds like it, you can drill down, go to the next page. If you look at what I have for domain name, to the right, it says domain name with just the arrow. That would take you another page with a list of things about domain names that you can go through and choose. Hopefully one of those is what you're looking for. So sort of some type of hierarchy mechanism, two or three levels deep, just to make it a little bit simpler than what this page looks like. Now with this, one of the things we'd like to do, we process about 500 tickets a month that we respond basically with an FAQ response. So if we can take those complaints out, put them up front, improve the FAQs, make it easier for the general public to submit, or before they submit questions, to find the information they're looking for, we've tried to reduce some of the tickets coming through. So this is, again, this is the concept we're trying to go through. We've got meetings in a week to start figuring out how we want to play this into the systems. Let me make one comment here on this. I'd love to hear feedback. If you can send me feedback on this by next Friday, we've got an email at the end of the section you can send that to. Send me your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you've got, because I'm trying to make the internet page much more easier to understand. That's the goal. So let me go into the metrics. So what we're trying to do is we have a whole bunch of data about all these complaint types, What can we do to mine that, turn it into some nuggets of information that we can then improve performance, improve contractual compliance performance with? Let me have one page here that talks a little bit about how we put it together, and then we'll get into the demo. So we can have multiple input sources. In my case, I've got a lot of different ticketing systems. We take that data and we summarize it into what we call a data mart. So it's a small database. We're not keeping operational data. This is what the ticketing systems are for, the complaint systems are for. So we're summarizing it at the right level here. Then that allows us to build what we've called the cube. This, think of it as a Rubik's Cube. You put the data in there and you can turn it around, look at it, spin it, and you can have your aha moment by looking at that type of data. And then from that, we present it. We have it on the PCs for staff to look at. We can cut and paste. Now, some of you may have seen the metrics that we've presented before at the global meetings. When I first came on board, it took me a few weeks to go find all of that data manually and try to build it in Excel and put it together. We've now started collecting the data, and it's in the tool, and in 4 hours, I've built all of DEX. It's just going through, finding the metrics, cutting and pasting, and put it in PowerPoint. So from a couple of weeks or longer to a couple of hours, that's a nice productivity improvement. Plus, I'm pretty sure that I'm more consistent in how I'm calculating the data. Speaking of data, we have a few metrics. We started in May and with about 3 metrics, and we're up to almost 50 metrics. Now, let me talk about this column on the right called dimensions. The metric is a number. It's a value. So today's the 17th. But until you put information around that number 17, it makes no sense. It could be a date. It could be the number of registrars, the number of complaints, whatever. So the idea of these dimensions explain and make reference to that value. It makes sense. Today's the 17th. There's 17 people in the meeting. There's whatever. So what we've done by combining this dimensional data with it, registrars, TLDs, dates, complaint types, with this volume, we can now start building this Rubik's Cube of data. Now, once we understand those connection points, what's common, then we can start pivoting each other's piece of information, and that's how we can build this multidimensional database. So as I go through the demo, here's a couple of things to look for. What we've built is a home page, which is public data. It's a lot of information. Again, this is a compliance focus. But we also have two other dashboards behind this that is for ICANN internal use. So, because that will have individual registrar information about that. We're not going to show that, not here. So I've got a mock-up that I'll show to illustrate what we have here. While you're looking at the demo, look how we can slice and dice this information. I've got charts, I've got tables, I've got text. I've got different pieces of information that we can display along the way. One of the things that we use in the terminology here is the ability to drill down. So I can start at the high level and I go down a level and I keep on going and drilling down until I get to my aha moment. So I've now figured out what I wanted to go look at. Well, now what we've tried to do is make that an actionable metric. So now I've got 5 of these. I know it's 5. Now what do I do with it? Well, this last bullet, we've made it where it's actionable. We can link back to those 5 tickets, those 5 complaints that generated that. We can now then go and research those tickets, do the root cause, understand if it's a trend, what's going on, what caused that. So that gives us that ability to take at a very high level, slice and dice, get down to that piece of information we're looking for, and then go reference it back to the details if we need it to understand what root cause is. So that, to me, is the closed loop cycle of what we've put together here that enables us to take all of this high-level data and go back down to the details to figure out what to do with it. So with that, let me switch over and do the demo. that's too small. Let me try again. All right, it's conflicting between my monitor size and the projector size, so we'll just have to scroll along with it. So this is the homepage for the contractual dashboard. So you can see we've got a map, we've got some buttons here to push. I have simple things. What's the list of the registrars? What's the list of the registries? I have global domain count by TLD. So anybody interested? What's the breakdown by the ICANN regions of the world, Europe, North America, etc., by TLD, by total, by grand total? So very quickly, we can start looking at that. Let me try to slide back over here. So here's a geographical map representation. So let me go pick on Europe here. This is percent of registrars with complaints. So you take the public address of the registrar with all the complaints, and let's do a simple calculation. How many complaints are we getting from that area? So in this case, Europe, it's 52%. So if I go click on that, here are the countries, the number of registrars in that country, number of complaints. Oops, too far. Number of percent of registrars with complaints, because not everybody has a complaint filed against them. So here's a percentage, and then we also have the domain count size. So we can try to get those ratios of going, if you have a lot of domains but you have very few complaints, is that the right ratio? If you have a lot of complaints but your domain count size is high, well, then that may be a good indicator that you just have a lot of volume and it's an appropriate percentage for what you have. So let me scroll down. Sorry about the awkwardness of this. It really does look nice on the laptop. So we've talked about the notification cycles, right? The 1-2-3 process. We did not get the Whois tickets loaded in time. I just got that update an hour ago, so it's not on the laptop. So this is only what we call the C-ticket or the consumer, the transfer, those type of complaints. But this gives you some idea of the number of tickets that we've processed versus received, because remember we had tickets, complaints from last month that we're still processing as we go through the cycle. But in this case, in September, we had 1,266 new tickets. Then we can try to see how many tickets here, the red, we closed 788 tickets before we sent it out. So we looked at it, we did our thing with it, we analyzed it and said, it's closed. It could be as simple as the FAQs, or it could be something that's not a good complaint. We're going to basically close it, and that's it. Then you can see the volume that we're sending through for the first, second, and third notice, and the volume closed. Now, if I go click on this, I can drill down a little bit more. And again, here's that geography spin of it. How many complaints, or excuse me, what's the volume of the complaints that we processed by region? How many did we receive? And it goes through all of those notice queues all over again. Oops. Let me try to scroll just a little bit. How can the volume process be received? Yes. Yes. Yeah, there wasn't a good way to describe that, but that's what it is. It's because we're actually processing. And if you think about it, if the time is short enough, you can hit a ticket in the first and the second notice queue in 1 month cycle. Or if it's split, you know, you get the ticket on the 25th and you don't hit it to the next phase until the 5th of the first of the next month. So we will have a lot of tickets that will span, so it's hard to get a, you can't go add up this and go, aha, you have that many tickets, because it's a rolling cycle every day. But this gives you that comparison. This is what I'm trying to show you here. Between July, August, and September, how many complaints did we process through all of this? And I just can't get that to scroll nicely. There we go. So you can get some idea of the volume of complaints that we were processing, excluding Whois tickets. Okay. So let's go over here and go take a look at enforcement. Now, enforcement, remember I said this is sort of our global page. It's public information. Enforcement activity is public. So from here, I can take a look and show you. This is the number of breaches or suspensions that we sent out each of the months for this reporting period. And then if I scroll down here and we get it just right with this chart that's a little bit, let's see if I change that. I don't think I can make it any smaller on here or any bigger on here. Sorry, but what we have here on the left that I know you can't read, but these are all of the complaint or all of the breach notices. And then up here on the columns are other registrars. So the color coding is green, the breach has been cured, the red has been terminated, and this one different tan color is an active activity right now. This is current as of last Friday. So this is a nice graphic representation. If we can make it bigger, it'd look better in the presentation here. I'm sorry. But it's a nice way for us to show. And this is the activity for, just for these last 4 months. Again, I've got registrars. Let's look at complaints by TLD. So here, when IANA issues the TLDs, they issued them in rounds. Or that's what I was told by that team. So we've grouped it based on what they've given me with the pre-ICANN 2000-2004 round. Now, you're going to see unknown here for both the TLD and the region. I have complaint tickets that are consumer-based. They're not specific to a registrar. They literally are unknown. So that's a valid item here because we thought, oh, we missed something. But actually, it's the level of ticket. It did not get that far enough to be specified to a specific registrar or region. But here you can look and see what the volume is by TLD round of when they were issued, how many complaints we have. You can also look at it a little bit lower here by the TLD type. Come on. So you can see how we're doing by the actual TLD itself by region. So I think this sets the stage as we add new TLDs. I have another column, and now I can start cross-referencing the complaints to the different TLD rounds. So this gives us the ability to, I think, grow with the new GTLD as they start bringing in the complaints. Let me show you the, how are we doing on time? Registrar and registry. Now, this is the stuff that I can't show you, real data, but I do have a mock-up, so I'm going to show you that so you can get some idea of what we have behind it. This is a dummy demo registrar. I clicked on this, and I'm running a PDF. Again, note, I ran a PDF from my intelligence tool, which is sort of nice. I can combine things. I could have run Excel if I wanted to. But from the registrar dashboard, same idea. I've got a geographical map where I'm trying to understand those percentages across the globe. I've got different tasks that I want to look up, complaints by TLD, trending, turnaround time. Remember that first bottom page of the notifications? I can look at it here. I repeat the list of registrars because I don't want to go back to the home page to find a registrar name. We also have the registrar scorecard, so I can build this report card for an individual registrar. This is demo name A. So here I've got how is the business response time doing. I've got an overall count of how many complaints, what's the trend of that, what's the percentage of what type of complaints, and you'll see who is leading the pack. I can list the number of complaints by TLD and along with the domain size. And then I've got that ratio down here again at the bottom of the number of complaints, the domain size, so we can have that ratio for comparison. So we can generate this based on an individual registrar. So we can, and I also have a spot for enforcement. So if you had a breach notice, it would show up here. We have no data for this one. Now, if I go back up here, Maggie likes top 25. So we've built a button bar just for that. And what's in the top 25 is, come on. Here. So we have the top 25 complainants, the top 25 registrars by TLD, top 25 registrars who is, top 25 registrar transfer complaints, UDRP complaints. So we can track and give you, so we sort of have our list of who's got the most activity going on with these areas.
Is that only available inside of the registrar registry?
Can you repeat the question?
Top 25 lists, are they public facing?
No.
Hello, all participants. When you please ask a question, can you please state your name and the question for the record on microphone so that people on audio can hear you? Thank you.
Okay. So that's for the registrar. For the registry, again, we have that same map idea. We have a similar scorecard that we can build for the registry, and we have certain items that are, you have an SLA component of that one. So let me go pick on the who is availability. And with that, you can see, I don't know if you can see where the mouse is, on the far left, this name that I'm circling, that's just registry, but in the real world, it'll list the registry names. And you can see how they did for this one particular SLA. Now, if you notice, what I've got highlighted is the missed SLA. You'll see a little red box around this one. So this one item for who is availability for that month was a miss. So very quickly, you can see the power of the tool where once we give certain threshold values, if it goes below that, we can flag it. It's a little bit more visible to go look at, and then we can take a look. Pass it on to the team for analysis. I think that's all I have for the registry, I guess. That was a whirlwind tour through our compliance tool, what we're trying to put together from the metrics piece. So
this is Maggie Surratt for the record. As we're closing for the presentation and we're going to open up for Q&A, what I would like to say is all this material will be uploaded to the compliance website under the outreach. We've been keeping track of all that. I don't know if you guys have visited our website, and we will put a link to the presentation. And to give you material to go back and look at, because the tool is not open for everybody, we did PDF slides of the tool of the presentation slides you saw here today. Okay, so with that, I'm going to start facilitating the questions. If you would, like Jack said, state your name and your question, and then we'll take it.
I have a wireless mic for anybody who does not have a mic in front of them and needs to speak.
Joe Waldron from VeriSign. Just a point, I think, is where you're getting some of this data. I think it would be helpful if you had it documented in either in the tool where that was readily available. I'm interested to know where you're getting the domain name counts and how you're doing the geographic breakout of those. So I'm assuming you're getting that from the registry operator reports. And it's important to note that that data is going to be 3 months delayed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, all of that. Oh, yeah, we made sure of that one. This is what's public. I wasn't about to confuse that and have an accident, no. So this is public data.
So we're in compliance, Joel.
Yes.
Just checking up on you.
It's a good comment, and I've captured it, data source. So when this information is available, or when we start producing and putting updates more in our newsletter, I will add some notes. Thank you. Good idea.
Let me make one comment. As you start looking into some of this, the count of registrars, registries, if a registrar and you saw one, we had one that was terminated. I still have complaint tickets, so I still have to remember that he was there a year ago or whenever that incident was. So you just can't look at that and go, ah, this is the number today. You have to go back in time and remember, I still have complaints that were outstanding from him, that we went through the cycles, we actually followed up and terminated him, but I still have him listed in the system as a registrar somewhere. Okay? Next.
This is Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology. Thanks a lot for the demo. Appreciate it. And I just have some curiosity questions, I guess, which is, is this a off-the-shelf or largely off-the-shelf solution for compliance management? Are you guys building this from the ground up? Is it an incremental change from the system you had in place before? What's the underlying technology?
This is an off-the-shelf product. So it's a business intelligence reporting tool that we've had prior experience with, so we've used that. The purpose of this prototype was for us to get our hands not necessarily on the tool, but what information are we trying to put together for the business to use. So now that Ed is here, VP of IT, then he's going to help us take this to the next level. This is still a prototype. I've got a lot of data in it, but with Ed's help, we're going to take this to a more permanent platform rather than on our PCs that we're crunching this. So, but it is a standard off-the-shelf product. Yeah.
And the more permanent platform will be that same off-the-shelf product. You've made a decision to use that.
No.
Oh, you no. Just use an off-the-shelf for the prototype.
We built it for the prototype, yes. And now Ed's coming to provide some consulting with us on what direction to go.
Okay. No, I just had an understanding from you earlier that at this point you would have done an evaluation of tools that you thought you were going to use going forward.
Right. That was, you're right. You understood correctly, and that was in the absence of an IT, VP. I keep calling you IT or VP. It's VP of IT. Since his arrival about a month ago, there are a lot of efforts underway to put about an enterprise solution and strategy, because this tool is really needed across the entire ICANN community, not just staff. So Ed's been tasked to look at that. So we've held back on going to production. You're right, Jonathan. He's got good memory. So that answer your question on that? Brett?
Yeah, Brett from Internet.pro. I had two questions. On the slide that was captioned proposed complaint input approach, you had six, I think, model complaints that people could put in. I wondered whether that was that's the one. Is that a set of examples, or is that a complete list? Would you be welcome?
No, this was just a mock-up. It's an example. We tried to build it based on the existing help page of ICANN.org, because if you look at that, they tried to condense that first list. So this was our attempt at that first list of what should be the more popular complaints or a more generic complaint. And then behind this would be a cascade of more details. Yes. Right.
Was this the kind of thing that you would be interested in hearing feedback from?
Absolutely.
I'll send you an email with a couple of.
Now, I also will admit that I used my reporting tool to try to figure out what was the top ones, and yeah.
So if I may add to the statement for the audience, we started this dialogue, I think, from day one when I got here. I've heard a lot of complaints from many stakeholder group team members. It's like Alan Greenberg, you guys know from ALAC. He always says, that's my pet peeve, you know, that's not user-friendly. I get to the IP and BC constituency. We don't like this. It's not user-friendly. There's not enough types. It's not allowing us to enter multiple. So we listened to all of that. And again, in the scheme of prioritization and as we ramped up our resources and brought additional subject matter experts on board, we engage with those specific stakeholder groups. Jonathan, on behalf of the IPC, was awesome to bring us the input for that whole constituency and kind of bring it into a consolidated format, prioritize, so we're able to work with something. Because it's hard to please just every individual around the table. We want to put a solution that's going to serve the bigger picture, the entire ICANN community. So as Paul said, please send your feedback to him. It's not too late. And as you saw from our plan, there's no way it's all going to be stood up by day one. We are going to migrate current to future centralized, add some validation, some automation, and there's always going to be a continuous cycle for improvement and additions. So if it doesn't happen today, we will make sure we'll let you know when that's happening, and if not, why it's not happening. Okay? So your input, and provide the Paul some input. Don't send the Wall Street Journal, please, or a full analysis. Bullet formats work fine. I'm a user from this environment. My business needs are the following. Now, I like to see this. No. What is the business need to you? How is this going to help you do your job better and be able to collaborate with the rest of us better? So step out of just your little silo or big silo and think, what is the business value of this request? Because this is how we're going to be able to prioritize that request.
Hi, Rod Rasmussen with Internet Identity. I noted that you're planning on being providing a mechanism for multiple complaint submissions at once. I just wanted to understand how that's going to affect metrics going forward, which, you know, if you have one complaint that has several complaints in it, you know, how are you going to be treating that in the statistics? Because I can see people trying to game the system based one way or the other on how you're going to actually track that kind of stuff.
Well, the simple answer is we'll split it and it becomes a unique complaint. Yes. Yeah.
And in addition to that, as you saw on the dashboard, we want to have that Rubik's Cube look. And at the same time, we also want to become more efficient and effective. If you noted on the process map, the general approach, in the past, we were doing a single ticket at a time. Our staff now takes it a complaint received, or if we are in a breach or something and we identify other concerns, we hit it immediately. You cannot afford to go back every time to step one. Otherwise, you're going to be circling in the back. So we will have that Rubik's Cube look by complaint or by registrar. Our objective is to bring that efficiency and effectiveness to the contracted party while they are processing complaints, but to the ICANN community, to the level of details needed.
Jonathan Zook again from ACT. And I don't want to derail your purpose for this meeting. So, I mean, tell me if this question's out of scope. But you have some months of data now that you've been collecting in a more rigorous way. I don't know if it's 6 months worth of data or something like that that presumably you're using for some of these demos. And I guess I feel a certain urgency to, in parallel, develop what seems to be a very nice system. I'm excited about the system, but part of the reason that it would have been great if it existed 5 years ago is that we'd have 5 years of data on which to base decisions now about where the weaknesses in the system lie and what needs to happen going forward in the new GTLD program, et cetera. So I guess I'm just going to ask the question whether or not the 6 months' worth of data, I know you don't feel completely comfortable about the accuracy and want to share it, but is there enough there that you've been able to form some conclusions about where the weaknesses in the compliance system lie, what needs to be fixed, where the deficiencies are in the registry and registrar agreements that you might need? I mean, have you been able to gain business intelligence from the data that's been collected to date and come up with a plan of action? I mean, I've seen your plan, add more staff, et cetera, but I haven't seen it mapped to the data that might reveal where the deficiencies are, and then setting some targets for what those metrics. We see a list of metrics, but what are reasonable expectations or aspirational goals for what those numbers will read a year into the new GTLD program, for example?
So I think you guys need to turn the mic off. So for the time being, you're right. Those metrics are very operational, and we don't have the history to do deficiencies as a high level as a contract-related deficiencies. What we're targeting is the operational and where are the weak points or opportunities for us to work with the contracted parties to improve. We've leveraged this data for the past 6 months. and we have done several outreach with the contracted party and with even different communities. So, for example, we all saw the high level of inter-registrar transfer tickets. It continues to be high. And thanks to this data and the availability of it, without spending days of trying to get it together, we were able to sort it what region and the registrar community. And Pam Little was able to hold what we call an outreach webinar in the month of September and was focused on the Asia Pacific. The webinar was held in Chinese. Out of the 33 registrars in the region, we had 27 represented, 40 total. That's one. Another outreach we did prior to that was with Who Is. And it's all, we're doing it for the education and formal getting us to address that. But we're not able to tie if there's deficiency in the contract yet.
Are you able to determine if there's deficiencies in the compliance function of ICANN? Are there things that need fixing? I don't mean to sound mean, but is the data revealing, is the problem just not enough people? Because I know one of the things you're doing is adding people. Does the data reveal that if only we had more people, the numbers would be better? That's sort of what I'm getting at, is did you learn something about yourselves as a result of this data that your plan is designed specifically to address?
We are learning. And like I said, in 2011, when we assessed the current state, I didn't have that data, and I didn't need that data to tell me what was missing. So we needed to align the processes. We needed to do this. So now what we're trying to measure internally, to your point, the volume of tickets, but you don't want to just add resources based on the volume of tickets. We're trying to address the issues that are causing this volume. And to your point, we are learning from that and trying to do that proactive work. The other thing we're learning is internally where are, you know, we rolled out a consistent process, and I'm first to be very transparent, as you've known me to be. Do we all follow that process consistently to that nth hour? We're still learning. There's a learning curve to get there. The tools are still fragmented. So the short answer, yes, we are learning internally, but before we add resources, by 2013, we hope to stabilize all this and be able to truly measure level of complaints, level of education versus resources or training. So all that's going to come together, absolutely. And we will, in 2013, look at the process from beginning to end. What is my turnaround time from beginning to end? Where are the, you know, the deficiencies in the process or in the tools or in the resources? So that's ultimately our goal, Jonathan.
Hi, Ashish Luthra Phileas. I missed the first 10 minutes, so please ignore my question if you've already answered. I believe on the registrar registry section, you mentioned it's only available to ICANN folks, and the rest of it is public. Will the registries get any access to view their own TLDs as part of this dashboard? Like one of the slides you had was complaints by TLD by region. But I didn't see breakdown of those complaints at what specifics were there. And I think, managing the abuse department at Afilias, I would like to know to see where I can improve from an audit compliance perspective as well.
So the short answer, it's Ashish, right? The short answer is yes, but we cannot open it yet because we don't have the infrastructure, the security behind it. So we're leveraging this internally to know how we collaborate and with each contracted party as needed and are able to generate this data on a specific contracted party at a time. At the same time, we're now able to generate these at a higher level so we can provide more regular updates to the community on the different activities in those space. So our objective is to get there, yes. And I know we're 5 years behind. Everybody reminds me of that every time. Any more questions? Okay.
Mark Morrill, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. You'd mentioned you added a category of other in the different categories. There seemed to be a lot, like thousands, I believe it was around 6,000, if I'm not mistaken. What do those look like? How does somebody make a complaint and not specifically address to a registrar? That seems like a high amount, does it not?
We thought it. Yeah, when we first looked at that, we thought, oh, we missed something. Mm-hmm. but we've gone back, and it's because of the we get a lot of the complaints that we consider that consumer type, where it's okay. So nebulous, it's not associated to a specific gotcha. Domain, a specific registrar, so that accounts for most of those. Yes. Yeah. We actually had one. We had one error that we fixed. That was the one where I knew the process was working, because we had one registrar that wound up in that unknown and was like, wait a minute, this should work, and we had to update his geographic location to the map. And yeah.
What I'm sorry. Thanks for the question, Mark. What reminded me, one of the outreaches we did, I don't want the audience to think we're only focusing on registrars or the contracted party. One of the things we learned from our data is based on the other, right, and even some other valid complaint types, the complaint itself may not be correct. What we call, I don't want to say bad reporter, but we follow the same process. Not all complaints are valid complaints, but yet we do have that volume. So another activity led by Pam's team was to identify who are these people and get back to them. So all that is manual. I mean, you still need people to do that, to take a look at these things. I don't care how much you computerize, you still need that. So what we're trying to identify is criteria to make it computerized with a human milestone to stop and check on it. Just want to make sure that the audience knows it's not just contracted party. We are serving the full scheme of audiences. That's why we look at the top 25 complainants and how many are processed, how many are held back, and why, and analysis.
Desiree Boxberger, aplus.net. My question's for Maggie Sirod. On your metrics that you're capturing on rejected, are you capturing metrics on the rejected complaints by registrar, or are those simply thrown out of the system and not captured?
Can you define rejected, please?
Incomplete complaints sent back to the complainant. I think in one of the slides, the metrics addressed rejected complaints, like repeat offenders, you know, that are using, abusing the, like the WDPRS system, that type of thing. I was just wondering if you could speak to what your collection on those metrics are.
Actually, is Pam maybe still Pam? Here? Pam, do you mind providing an update on the activity your team led for the bad reporter?
We have a set of criteria we use to determine whether a ticket or complaint is valid. For example, in the context of WDPRS, which is the tool for reporting queries and inaccuracy, if there's already a complaint about exactly the same domain name that's in process, then we will filter that complaint out. It will be rejected. The reporter will be informed the reason why it was rejected.
But my question is, are those metrics being captured? So say you have an incomplete against my registrar that's maybe rejected because it's a duplicate or incomplete. Is that still counted in the metrics is what I'm asking?
That won't be counted as a ticket we process, for example. That will become a statistic for how many tickets we rejected, for example.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your work on the WDPRS system. I've noticed a dramatic decrease, and I would like to thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that feedback.
Brett Fawcett again. I had a question about the volume closed before first notice, and I assume that some complaints come into ICANN, come through the compliance portal, but are not appropriate for being addressed in compliance, but may be appropriate for being addressed in other parts of ICANN, and that you're pushing them to a different place. So I wondered if you're distinguishing between volume closed by you and maybe volume transferred to another part of ICANN.
What we've seen here is those tickets are transferred to the other department, and I don't believe I'm counting them in this particular count here, because we don't close that ticket. We transfer it out.
Be captured in any of those boxes?
Yeah, this red one, this 788, the volume closed before first notice. I don't have a mechanism in the existing tickets for closure code. It doesn't exist. So rather than put the effort into trying to fix the old one, we're going to put that in the new one, the one that we're working on now. So I just don't even have a place to record that.
I just wanted to say I really appreciate this. It's well done. It's important to me that we be measured relative to each other, and so I appreciate that your metrics capture that. So thank you.
So the thanks goes to the leadership from Paul Redman. We all supported him. You know, it's one hand alone cannot clap. We have an amazing team that's been supporting, but it's Paul's leadership and in the support for metrics and performance measurement. So I.
I tell you, there's no more questions then. So I actually brought us 8 minutes early. So, okay.
The next session will be on audit, and we're scheduled to start at, let me pull up my calendar, 3:30. Wow, you brought us more than, we're scheduled to till 3:15, I think. So we're going to be around and take a little break if you guys have specific questions. Same room. Yes, you kidding? I'm not leaving.
Center, powered by Adigo Conferencing, www.adigo.com. This call may be recorded. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key or hash key. Please wait for the subscriber. If you are the subscriber, press star. Please enter your subscriber PIN, followed by the pound. Please say your full name, then press the pound key or hash key.
With Verilane.
Thank you. Your conference will now start. You may hear a list of available options at any time by touching star star.